So, you want to make a living as a songwriter. And where do you start? Well, you have to find your voice. That is the first thing you need, and arguably the most important thing. I would argue that as long as you have an authentic voice that is yours, you can make a living regardless of anything else. That is the one piece of the puzzle that is absolutely vital. And today on the podcast, I am going to talk a little bit about increasing your confidence and finding your voice. So let's do this. Hello there, guys, and welcome to the One Bad Day Songwriting Podcast, the podcast where we discuss the ins and outs of songwriting and have a great time doing it. My name is Eivindur, or Eivi, and I'm an Icelandic singer-songwriter. I go by the artist name One Bad Day, and you can find a couple of my songs for free at onebadday.rocks. So if you like Americana, folk rock, singer-songwriter kind of stuff in the vein of Tom Waits, Nick Cave, and Neil Young, you should definitely check me out. You will love me. Is that overselling it? Who knows? Anyway, today I want to kind of continue from the last long episode of the podcast where I talked about songwriting confidence a little bit. And I want to talk about the voice, finding your voice. So that's what we're going to get into today. But first, I just, a little bit of chit-chat as usual. I just started reading a great book. It's called Black Panther, Red Wolf by Marlon James. And the author calls it like an African Game of Thrones. You know, it's a fantasy novel that's based on African folklore. And, I've only just begun, and it's a sizable book. I can't comment too much on it, but it is great to begin with. It's wonderfully written. It's absolutely beautiful. And it's fascinating to me, because I've read a little bit of Western fantasy. I wouldn't say I'm very well read in it, but I've read quite a few fantasy novels, and of course, I've watched fantasy films and stuff like that as well, so I'm fairly familiar with the tropes. And of course, they all come from Western folklore, which I'm familiar with being from the West, of course. And it's fascinating to me to read something that is, a fantasy novel that is rooted in African folklore, because so far it feels very much the same. And I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting something a little bit more, I don't know what the right word is, a little bit more exotic, maybe. Something that it would be a little bit more foreign to me, but it's not. And I guess maybe the lesson here is that fantasies, folklore, the folklore of humans is kind of similar. I guess, what I'm trying to say here is we're all the same, right? No matter where we're from, we have the same fears, we have the same dreams, more or less. So that might be it. I don't know. Anyway, it's a great book so far. I highly recommend it. I'll put a link in the show notes. And I'm listening to the audio version, and I highly recommend it because the reading is truly wonderful and really gives a great sense of place and really roots you in the sort of African environment that Marlon James is going for in that book. So I'll put a link to that in the description of the show, which will be at onebadday.is/episode15. That's onebadday.is/episode15. And so, yeah, check it out. And of course, you can get two free audiobooks if you go to onebadday.is/freebooks. That's onebadday.is/freebooks. And you can get a couple of free ones there, and including this one. So we're going to get into the discussion in just a second. But first, here is a very short but very important message from me. All right, enjoy. Hey there, this is Avi from One Bad Day, shamelessly promoting my own music. I like to take that feeling when you've indulged too much, drunk dialed your ex, and fallen asleep in the bathtub wearing your finest suit, and put it to music. And I want to give you a couple of tracks for free. If you enjoy artists like Tom Waits, Nick Cave, and Neil Young, my music is going to dramatically enhance your life. You'll have a better appreciation for the world at large, get a better job, meet better people, and be at least 20% more productive. Okay, that might be overselling it a bit, but you get the picture. So, head on over to onebadday.rocks right now and get a couple of my songs for free. That's onebadday.rocks. You will be a better person for it. All right, folk on.
Your love will kill me, this I know. But don't let that stop you tonight.
Anyway, the topic for today is, as I said before, is finding your voice, which is, you know, that's, to me, that's a part of the whole confidence thing. You know, I think before that, it's hard to be confident if you don't really, you know where your voice is at. And, you know, the whole journey of any artist, whether it's a songwriter or a musician in general, or if it's a visual artist, a writer, filmmaker, whatever, it's all about finding out who you are, right? And there was a quote, and I have not been able to figure out who said this, but I remember hearing it years and years and years ago, and it really resonated with me. And the quote, it was some musician who said this. It might have been Quincy Jones, but I don't think so. Anyway, it was probably someone of that ilk anyway, of that generation anyway. But the quote is, I just love this. By the way, if anybody knows this, by all means, comment on the show notes and tell me who said this, because I've Googled the hell out of this and I just can't find it. Anyway, the quote, which really resonated with me when I heard it, is figure out who you are and be the shit out of that. Figure out who you are and be the shit out of that. And I love that. And that is what art is all about. It's about figuring out who you are and being that. And being that as hard as you can. Right? And that has taken me most of my life. Just figuring out who I really am and what is important to me as an artist and, you know, where my voice is at. And, you know, this is obviously a kind of a tricky discussion, because there's really no way to tell somebody how to do that. But, you know, I'm going to just share a little bit with you about how I sort of figured it out, because it took me a long time. So, first of all, let's talk about why it's important to find your voice, why you need to be aware of this thing. Because, you know, if you're just starting out, well, or maybe if you're not, I mean, maybe if you've never given this much thought, you know, why do you need to be conscious of your voice and, you know, finding it and being aware of it? Well, I would say that is how you find your audience. You know, if you are authentic, if you're authentically you, then you can find your market. That's how you make a living as an artist, as a songwriter, as a musician, as any kind of artist, really. Because you have to remember, there is an audience for everything. This is something that I had to really... it took me a long time to really... for this to really hit home, that there is an audience for everything. You know, if you hear an artist somewhere and you really, really hate their music for whatever reason, I don't mean necessarily that they're a bad musician, quote unquote. I mean, you know, it doesn't appeal to you at all, and you just can't figure out how anybody could possibly enjoy that music. Well, somebody does, you know, and you should think about your own music in those terms as well. You know, I remember years and years ago, I would go to all these concerts and shows and festivals and things, and I would listen to albums and whatnot. And I remember feeling so intimidated by the artists around me. You know, they would be such wonderful instrumentalists. Or they would, you know, they would have these wonderful vocals. They would be really good at harmonizing, let's say. You know, all this stuff that I didn't have. You know, I wasn't a very good guitar player. And, I always wanted to go home. Every time I left a show like that, I wanted to go home and I wanted to sit down with my guitar and I wanted to learn to play like that. You know, oh, I want to learn to use open tunings. I want to learn how to play those chords that they're playing. I want to learn that finger picking style. All this stuff, you know, and it would happen all the time. And it took me so many years to figure out that, hey, this is not my voice. Their voice is theirs, and they're great at what they do. But I need to work on what makes me good. Now, that doesn't mean that I stopped working on my guitar playing or my vocal technique or anything like that. Not at all. You know, I'm always working on that stuff. I'm always trying to learn new things. But I'm not trying to do it in order to mimic somebody else. You know, because, you know, I feel like at this point I have found my voice, and I've realized, you know, and again, it took me a long time, but I have realized that, you know, there is an audience for my stuff. I have an audience, and, you know, there are a lot of people who enjoy what I do. Not everybody does at all. And I am very much aware of that, and that is just fine. But there are plenty of people who do. And, you know, I think this is very important to keep in mind, that, you know, your voice is good to many, many people, you know. And, you know, again, it doesn't matter what your voice is, as long as it is authentically yours, and you find the right audience, you know, you find out where your audience that really enjoys your voice is at, and then you can find them, and everybody will be very happy. So that's why I think it's very important to, you know, figure this out. Figure out where your voice lies, where your strength lies. You know, I think that's the basic premise, really. You know, what is your strength, but also, you know, what resonates with you. And this is very much based on feeling, and, you know, this is kind of hard to talk about in practical terms. You know, and if you've been listening to this podcast, you know, I really like to talk about things in practical terms whenever I can. But, you know, it's not always possible. So anyway, so how do you go about looking for your voice? You know, how do you find your voice? Well, I mean, you know, again, it's hard to quantify, really, but, you know, when I was first starting out, you know, as I mentioned before, I didn't really know my own voice, and I'm not, you know, I really didn't, you know where to begin. And so what I did is I basically, you know, I just started playing live and I started doing all these things. And I was just mimicking other artists, really. You know, I would be, you know, covering Tom Waits songs, and I was just do my best to sound exactly like Tom Waits, which I'm really good at, by the way. And, you know, and I would do Nick Cave songs, and I would try to sound exactly like Nick Cave, and I would do Bob Dylan or Leonard Cohen and so on. And that was, I think that's okay. As long as, you know, you don't get stuck there. And I think there was a real big danger for me, because I probably spent a whole year just sounding like Tom Waits. And I played a lot of gigs in that time. It would have been very easy for me to get stuck there. And of course, if you listen to my songs, you know, there are certain things left over from that, but I think there are, you know, even, you know, a lot of my stuff sounds quite a bit like Tom Waits and like Nick Cave, I think, in a way. But, you know, I think it's, I've made it my own. At least I hope so. But, you know, I think it's okay when you're starting out to look for your voice within the work of other artists, as long as it evolves and it enhances you and makes you a better artist and helps you along the way to find your authentic voice. And you know, it's, again, going back to Tom Waits, I've quoted this before, but I just always think it's so good. He said that all artists are imitating other artists and just doing a bad job, or something to that effect. And I just love that quote. But, you know, I think seeking influences from other artists is can be a great thing, and it really can help you on your journey. So I wouldn't be afraid to do that. Just, you know, keep in mind that you obviously don't want to sound like a clone of some other artist, but, you know, blending influences can really lead to something unique, you know, and that's something to keep in mind. You know, you can spend a little bit of time, you know, doing covers and trying to do them, make them sound exactly like the original, and then try to create something different, try to make it your own. Or maybe, you know, and I used to do this a lot back in the, when I was first starting out, take a song and try to make it sound like another artist. You know, so when I was, you know, doing the whole Tom Waits impression cover thing, you know, I would do, you know, Pink Floyd songs and make them sound like they were sung by Tom Waits or something like that, which, you know, that can really lead to interesting results. And maybe that can be a great stepping stone towards finding your voice. You know, because, I mean, look at artists like Eels, one of my favorites. You know, you might not be as familiar with Eels, but you should look them up on Spotify. But, you know, if you listen to the first Eels album, Beautiful Freak, you know, you have songs like Novocaine for the Soul, which was a huge hit in the 90s, and all those songs, you know, Beautiful Freak, My Beloved Monster, you know, Your Lucky Day in Hell, all those great songs. There are so many influences that are blended together. And, you know, I read the memoirs of Mark Oliver Everett, the main guy from Eels. And, you know, he had been making some music, and I've listened to a little bit of that, and that was nowhere near as good, where he was sort of flailing around. And then he was driving, and he heard Portishead on the radio, and something clicked for him, and he went back, and he started experimenting with these electronic beats and all that stuff, which sounded very similar to what Portishead did. But, you know, Eels sounds nothing like Portishead, except, well, yes, there are these trippy electronic beats, but the music is completely different. So, you know, those influences from Portishead led to something really unique. And, you know, I would say that Eels, I mean, yeah, they sound a little bit like Beck at times, but, you know, I wouldn't say that Eels sound like anything else except Eels. So, you know, well, then, you know, you have artists like, and this is even more obscure, but you may have heard of an artist named Sparkle Horse. And if you like music that's a little bit different, I highly recommend checking out Sparkle Horse. Now, Sparkle Horse, you can hear there are Eels influences, or, you know, maybe it's Beck, maybe it's Portishead, or, you know, there's similar influences, but it sounds completely different from Eels, though. So, you know, much more lo-fi and much sort of, you know, more experimental. Eels is more towards pop rock, but, you know, Sparkle Horse is, that's just way out there. More electronic and more just weird. So, yeah, if you want to listen to something different, check out Sparkle Horse. Look that up on Spotify or YouTube or wherever you listen to music and check out Sparkle Horse. I highly recommend that. But anyway, you know, the whole point here is when you're looking for your voice, try out different things and don't be afraid to sound like somebody else for a bit. But then, you know, try to dial it back because it can... Yeah. Make sure you don't get stuck there and you don't get labeled as just a sound alike. And a part of this also, I feel, is playing live as much as you can. You know, that is really what helped me figure all of this stuff out. I would say that playing live helped me more than anything else in, you know, figuring out my voice and where I was headed with my craft. And playing live gives you a great feel for what works and what doesn't work, you know. And for instance, this, you know, as I was saying, this experiment with, you know, taking a Pink Floyd song and making it sound like Tom Waits, or, you know, you could take a, I don't know, a Bob Dylan song and make it sound like Spice Girls. I have no idea. Anyway, whatever you do, I mean, obviously everyone is different and everybody's working in different genres of music and stuff like that. But, you know, just doing these experiments on stage will give you a great feel for what works and what doesn't and what resonates with you and where you find that connection between yourself and the audience. Because that's really what, you know, that's another way to put it. That is another way you know, oh, this is me. This is what I do. You know, you figure out where you click with your audience, and then you're discovering your audience and you're discovering yourself at the same time. So I know it can be intimidating to play live if you're just starting out. And of course, you know, I'm talking to all of you guys and you are obviously in different points in your journeys and your careers. So, you know, maybe this is not something that you need telling, but, you know, if you are there, if you are at the beginning of your career and you find it intimidating to go play live, I get that. But, you know, it is worth pushing through, because playing live is really, in my opinion, the best way to just hone your craft and your voice. So the more you can play live, the better. Of course, some of you guys might not even play live. Some of you might just be songwriters and you might not be, you know, singer-songwriters. You might not be writing for yourself to perform. And in that case, that is a different story. Yeah, so then, you know, just create more music, I guess. Just, you know, that is, it doesn't have the same immediate response, you know, if you create songs and you just get feedback and all that stuff. But, you know, so it might take longer, I think. You know, I would say for me, it took me probably 2 years to sort of really get me on the right track. But, you know, I'm always discovering new things about my voice and my craft. And playing live is one of the main places where I discover these things. So, you know, it is, in my opinion, it's the cornerstone of my career. Anyway, is just performing live and really doing, yeah, to me, it's research. You know what I mean? But, you know, I get it that it can be intimidating. So if you find it intimidating, I highly recommend trying to push through it. And even if you're a songwriter who doesn't want to perform live, if your career trajectory, if you feel what you feel you need to be doing is just to write for other people, that's great. But, you know, if you possibly can, I would try to do some live gigs. It you know, not you know, just open mics, things like that. Not you know, in order to make like a live career out of it, just to try it out, you know. Again, if you possibly can, maybe, you know, there are reasons why you can't do that, but I highly recommend it if there's any way. All right, so another thing I think is very important when you're, you know, on this journey to discover your voice is to take risks. You should not be afraid of taking risks. And again, you know, this goes back to the playing live. You know, if you don't feel that that's your strongest suit, risk it. Yeah, I really think that it benefits you. And just, you know, don't be afraid to be, you know, a mad scientist. Just take the time to experiment and take all these crazy risks. You know, I talked about it on, you know, last week when I was talking about sort of the, you know, allowing yourself to fail. If you haven't listened to that episode, I highly recommend it. You can find that at onebadday.is/episode13. And I talked about this time when me and my friend wrote a song like the day of the show, and we went on stage and I forgot everything about it. It was a crazy risk, but, you know, it that didn't pay off at all. But I always, you know, I learned something, and I think that's, you know, not every time you take a risk, it will pay off. You know, it won't always do that. But I think you always learn something, and it always contributes to your voice, to your unique voice. And I think that's a great story to sort of, yeah, you know, just, yeah, just don't be afraid to take these risks. And, you know, again, it goes back to that idea of allowing yourself to fail, you know. Yeah, you're always going to learn something when you fail. And that is a part of the process, I think, of, you know, discovering your true self and your true voice. And you know, you shouldn't overthink things. I think that's also very, very important, not to overthink these things, because, you know, I talk about finding your unique voice and doing everything like that. But again, you don't have to be 100% unique. In fact, you can't. And, you know, your unique voice, your true voice might sound similar to other artists. And, you know, in my opinion, that's fine. Again, I get compared to Tom Waits and Nick Cave a lot. And that's just how it is. I mean, my heart is in that kind of sound and in that kind of music and those kinds of songs and those kinds of words. That's where I'm comfortable. And, you know, I do try to step out of my comfort zone, of course, and I've talked about that a lot. But my voice is not, you know, completely unique, but I don't think I sound exactly like those artists. I think I have an individual twist to my space, which obviously comes from my life and my, you know, I'm Icelandic, which gives me a very different point of view from, I mean, Nick Cave is Australian. He's on the other side of the world. You know, obviously we're completely different. So even though musically and lyrically, I guess I get some inspiration from those guys, and it you can hear it in my songs, I am my own person, and I have a unique sound in a way. But, you know, again, if you think that you need to be 100% unique, you're gonna get in trouble. You know, the music space is really, really crowded these days. And everything's been done. And, you know, last episode I talked about, you know, taking a, you know, when you're trying to come up with a song, you know, just going and picking a random chord progression from a song you haven't heard and using that. Because, you know, every chord progression has been used anyway. So you are going to be using the same chord progression as some other song. And this sort of comes back to that same thing. There are so many songs. There is so much music. There are so many musicians that you are not going to sound completely unique. You can't do it. It's, you know, you're always going to be sacrificing something. I mean, look, if you try to sound 100% unique, I just don't think your music is going to be very approachable. You know, if that's going to be your number one focus, I'm going to sound completely different from everything else. I think we need a certain familiarity in order for us to be able to approach music and really, really enjoy it. You know, and if you say, I'm going to sound completely different from everything that's ever been done, that's not going to be that. You know, and even if you take artists that are really out there and sound very unique, you know, take Siguros, the Icelandic band, for instance. They sound, you know, very otherworldly and very sort of, you know, ethereal and really, you know, I would say that most people would agree that their voice is very unique, right? They don't sound like anything you've heard before. However, you can hear a lot of influences in there. You can hear a lot of things that, you know, have sort of amalgamation of different influences, you know, that they have made their own. You know, there's, you know, the whole bow on the guitar, that's, you know, they weren't the first to use that. The Led Zeppelin did that. And, you know, a lot of that sort of spacey, ethereal sound is something that Pink Floyd had done before. You know, there are these sort of ambient instrumental groups that have done things with, you know, experimented with some of the sounds that you hear it with Seuro. So yes, they're unique, but they're not inventing the wheel, and you don't have to do that to have a unique voice. You know, it's just figure out where your sweet spot lies, so to speak, where you're, you know, where your music feels the best to you. And this again comes back to the live things, you know, just interacting with your audience. At least in my opinion, that is really where, you know, you just start to feel, oh, this is the right way to do this. You know, you play the same song every time I play live. When I play my own songs, they feel a little bit different every single time, and I perform them obviously slightly different every single time, because that's just how performing live works. And I'm always learning about these little minute details. You know, I might change the inflection of a certain word, I might just change a single note within a melody or whatever. And that's a part of it. You know, you're sort of honing your craft and discovering things about your music and about yourself that you hadn't thought of before, maybe. So what I'm trying to say here is, sitting down and trying to, you know, sitting down trying to make a plan, you know, cognitively about how you're going to be completely different from everything else, I think is doomed to fail. That's my point here. Yes, you need to find your own voice that is uniquely yours, but that doesn't mean it has to be completely different from everybody else in the world. And I don't think it can be. So it's a balancing act, I guess, you know. And again, you know, maybe sort of blending together different influences is the best way to go about this. So how do you know if you've found your voice? You know, how do you know if what you're doing now, if you know, oh, this is me, this is what I do? Well, it's hard to say. You know, it's a feeling. I don't think there was a moment when I realized that I had found my voice, but I remember very well when, you know, realizing, sort of, oh, all right, you know, I am, you know, and I think I had been playing that way for a while at that point, but I do remember at one point I was playing a festival, playing the Melodica Festival in Reykjavik years and years ago. And I think it was one of the first times I played completely solo, you know, not with any, you know, because I had been in a duet with a friend of mine, and this, I think, you know, and I did play a set with a duet, but I also played a solo set, and you know, I remember playing it. It went very well, and afterwards I thought, oh yeah, I have found my voice. I'm not trying to sound like anybody else anymore. I'm just me now. And I think maybe that's when you realize that, you know, you're not, even if you do sound like somebody else, or, you know, vaguely, if you're not trying it anymore, maybe that's how you know. But I think one thing that I have sort of found, and this, again, this is all based on my feeling, and you might completely disagree with everything that I'm saying. And if you do, by all means, you know, write me an email and tell me how wrong I am, or post a comment on this episode. But to me, it is one of the things that I've found, and, you know, when this started happening to me, it was one of the most moments when I thought, yeah, this is, I have my own voice. And that is when, you know, when you hear a song, you're listening, and especially if it's maybe a song that is unlike your stuff, and you hear how you would do it if you were to cover it, and you hear how you could make it different and how you could make it yours, I think that's a clue that you have a voice. You know, and if you are consistently able to do covers in a way that is, you know, different, and, you know, where you can sort of enhance the original, or maybe not enhance, but at least just make it your own. If that's a thing that is easy for you to do, I think that probably means that, you know, yes, you now have your voice. And another thing that I have found is that when I'm learning to play new songs, one of the things that I sort of pride myself on is that, you know, when I learn to play new songs, or new, maybe not even new songs, but if I learn a new scale or new chords or anything, I'm pretty good, if I do say so myself, at putting those things into my own songs. You know, and again, this is making things your own. You know, taking little riffs, for instance. You know, I learn a riff, and then I'm able to take it and change it, make something different out of those same notes, or similar notes, or the same scale, or whatever, and using that for my music. And I especially remember doing this. One of my favorite instances of this from my career was when I was, somebody hired me to play at a funeral. And I wasn't singing, I was just playing guitar at this funeral. And so we had this list of songs, and I learned those songs, and we played them. And then they asked me to play something instrumental as they were exiting the church. And I, as I said before, I'm not like a guitar player, really. That, you know, I don't consider myself, I play guitar, but, you know, first and foremost, I'm a singer and a songwriter. You know, guitar playing is not my strongest suit. But, you know, I had to figure something out. So I thought, all right, so what is a song that might be easy to do instrumental? And so I just went on YouTube and I ended up finding a fairly easy to play instrumental guitar version of Amazing Grace. And that's perfect for the end of a funeral. So I learned how to play that. And I found that I really enjoyed playing it. It was a fun little arrangement. And then I took the playing style from that arrangement of Amazing Grace, and I wrote a song for a play that I was working on. And I was very happy with that song. It doesn't sound like Amazing Grace, but it was one of my favorite songs that I've written for theater. And this song, and actually later, I took this song. Obviously, I didn't write the lyrics; I just wrote the music. But I'm now in the process of recording an album with my theater music, and I actually got my, because the lyrics for this song were too short. There was a verse that was cut from it, but it doesn't make sense with the other words. So I asked my dad to write me a new verse because he wrote the lyrics. And so a couple months ago, a very good friend of mine passed away, unfortunately, and so we updated the lyrics, me and my dad, to be sort of a memory of him. And so now this song is even more dear to me because it's a song about my friend who was just a fantastic guy. He ran a witchcraft museum in the north of Iceland. And so this song now is, you know, it has sort of references to witchcraft and really, really beautiful. So I'm going to play you that at the end of this episode. But so anyway, you know, that I think that's sort of, you know, when that sort of thing starts to come very easy to you, when you start to be able to easily adapt music to yourself, and you don't, you know, maybe have to sort of think, how can I make this my own, if it just feels your own immediately. And I'm not saying that this has to happen with every cover song you do. Not every cover song will resonate with your voice. That's another thing. And I think that, you know, one of the things is you'll be able to very easily recognize which ones do, you know, once you really have discovered your voice. So I think that's probably the best way to tell. And of course, again, this is all based on feeling. It's all very, very, I don't know what the word is, ethereal. It's subjective, I guess, is the word that I'm looking for. So anyway, I think we'll call it a day here. I hope you enjoyed this episode. You know, let me know what you think, you know, in the comments below the podcast episode at onebadday.is/episode15, or send me an email, or you can send me a voice message through my website, onebadday.is. And, you know, you can send me your songwriting tips and inspirations, and maybe I'll feature those on a future show. Or just say hi, or you can send me an email or whatever you want. But if you enjoyed this episode, I would love to hear from you, and I would love it if you subscribe, and if you share this, of course, that really helps. And by all means, leave a review on your podcasting platform of choice. And I want to end this episode by playing you that song that I mentioned before. It's an Icelandic It's called Það var þá, which means that was then. And it's a story about friendship, really. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed this song and I hope you enjoyed this episode. And I will talk to you later. All right, bye-bye.
Þáttir einu sinni við En það var þá Sem reyndist betur en öll hinn En það var þá Þegar aðrir vildi ekki að þér vita Var hann alltaf þér við hlýr Vildi alltaf leggja líf En það var þá Og það var litur, það var ljós En það var þá Og land sem allt í blóma stóð En það var þá Bjartan daginn gat þá ekki gruna Þann grimma rökkur seg Enginn fyrir kvöldi kveik En það var Glaðar myndir galdur liðins tíma eins og ljós á dimmum skjá mun þó alltaf lýsa á Allt sem var þá